Hi, I'm Sean Sutton, news and features writer for Search Health IT. I'm here with David Holzman, Vice President for Compliance with Synergistic, a health information privacy and security consulting firm. For 8 years before Synergistic, David was Senior Advisor for Health Information Privacy with the Office for Civil Rights. He's also a lawyer. Thanks for being here, David.
Well, thank you, Sean. Glad to be here.
Okay, so my first question is, when do you expect OCR to launch their audits, which have been delayed a few times now? And how prepared is OCR to carry out these audits?
I think OCR is going to begin some type of audit program in the 2015 calendar year. I think as the months roll by, it becomes increasingly clear that the audit program that OCR envisioned is eventually going to be carried out, but in a somewhat later schedule. I still expect that there will be a round of desk audits in 2015, followed by standing up a permanent audit program staffed by employees of the Department of Health and Human Services, and that permanent audit program will involve more comprehensive or on-site audits as we move into 2016 and beyond.
Oh, okay. So, conversely, are most healthcare providers prepared for HIPAA audits, and how should they best get ready for potential audits?
I think there are varying levels of preparedness amongst healthcare providers, and I think you can measure that or make generalizations based on the size and organization of the healthcare provider. During the desk audit, it will be a limited review of HIPAA security risk assessment and risk management plan, some focused areas of the privacy rule, like the notice of privacy practices and an organization's policies allowing individuals access to their health information, and focusing on policies and processes for evaluating and reporting breaches. I think by and large, organizations who have been participating, for example, in meaningful use are going to be more prepared because many of these features are also required for the organization to attest for meaningful use. But we see some troubling trends ahead. First of all, when the original 2012 audits were, or pilot audits were completed by OCR, there was an indication that the smaller the organization, in other words, smaller physician practices, smaller group plans, were showing the largest amount of challenges or difficulty in demonstrating compliance with the privacy rule and, to a greater extent, the security rule. In addition, we've seen through reports from CMS's Meaningful Use Audit Program of eligible providers, there has been approximately a 25% failure rate, and the leading cause of the failure rate, according to information provided by CMS, is the lack of inappropriate information security risk assessment. So I think what organizations can do today is to assure and to perform an appropriate HIPAA security risk assessment, make sure that they have identified the gaps that may exist in their in the safeguards that they're applying to protect the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of electronic health information, and to make sure that, that they're making progress in resolving those gaps that are identified in the risk analysis. I would also make sure that they've updated their notice of privacy practices. Most organizations have done a fairly good job of updating their notice of privacy practices, largely because the requirement has been in effect for some time since the fall of 2013, and a lot of folks have gotten the message, but it's always good to double check and make sure. And then also the patient access provisions. Many of these patient access provisions, awareness has been heightened again because of the meaningful use requirement that some portion of your of patients who are treated in your facility or in your practice have to have access or be provided access to their electronic records electronically. So this is another area where the meaningful use provisions are creating an awareness and benefiting perhaps compliance with privacy rule requirements. And the last issue is the breach notification requirements and assuring that your organization is up to date with the assessment that it uses for breach notification. In the final breach notification rule that was issued in 2013, the notification requirements did not change. However, there was a substantial change in the approach that you would take to assess for whether or not an incident rises for a breach. In fact, the basis upon which you evaluate for a breach is any unauthorized use of disclosure is presumed to be a reportable breach unless it is secured health information. In other words, it's unreadable, or it's or the data is on a device that is encrypted to meet the appropriate NIST standard, and or you have done a four-factor risk assessment. You do a four-factor risk assessment to evaluate or to assess whether the data has been compromised. And through that assessment, if you determine that there is greater than a low probability of compromise, low pro co, then you would go through your steps for breach notification. You would have had a breach.
David, how can small providers be best convinced of the return on investment for both HIPAA audit prep and data security in general?
Well, for data security, one only needs to look at the tangible and intangible costs that result from a breach. For every large breach that we read about in the headlines today, you know, whether it's a large health plan that's had millions of records hacked, or it's a medium-sized group health plan or a group clinic practice that has lost a laptop that the data was not encrypted, the disruption to the business and the actual outlay of costs for investigating and responding to the breach, and in addition, purchasing the ubiquitous credit monitoring coverage for those who are affected, those costs can be staggering, particularly to a medium-sized or small business. Sure, you can buy insurance, cybersecurity insurance, to help plan for these types of incidents. But the fact is that many insurance carriers now will do an assessment of your compliance with and implementation of information security safeguards in pricing, or what's called underwriting, the premium of the plan. So if you have really lax safeguards in place, you may be able to get insurance, but the cost of that insurance would be higher than if you had appropriate safeguards in place. As to the return on investment for a HIPAA audit, frankly, the HIPAA audits are just a measure of your organization's compliance with the HIPAA privacy and security and breach notification rules. Frankly, you are more likely to suffer a breach than you are to be subject to an audit from OCR. But by the same token, when due to the stringent breach notification requirements in healthcare, you're going to be reporting to OCR at some point the breach that you have suffered, and the reporting requirements on OCR's website for reporting that breach requires you to provide details as to the safeguards issues that were the cause of the breach, as well as providing information as to the steps that you've taken to fix your safeguards or identify and resolve the gaps in your policies and procedures and actual safeguards that have been in place or changed between the time that the breach occurred and the time that you're actually reporting the breach. So you're actually now having to give OCR a roadmap as to what was the cause of the breach and where are the problems in my organization. And I think it's a much better return on investment to be proactive and to take steps to have safeguards in place to prevent the breach or the incident from happening in the first place, than having to fix it later while you're under the glare of a OCR reviewer investigation.
Okay, well, thank you, David. It was a really stimulating discussion, and thanks again for being here with Search Health IT.